When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, guys, welcome back to Coaching Conversations with Pete and Yas. But before we get to today's episode, just a quick announcement from our partnership with St. Mary's University Twickenham.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. I'm Ashley, our performance football coaching course lead, as you know, as a member of our alumni. Our course is unique around the world, so we believe that we have a distance learning model that kind of works for everyone, regardless of where they are in the world. They can study football performance coaching from their environment and put it into their context.
Amazing. And who is it for?
So we really have lots of different unique opportunities. So you can be a pro licensed coach that we've had in the past. You could be a level 2 UEFA B coach. It's about putting it into your context. So we'll expose students to match analysis, contemporary football coaching cultures, and they can put that into their own practice and improve their knowledge and understanding of the game.
Thank you for that, Ash. And as an alumni member of St. Mary's University Twickenham, I'm proud to announce the partnership that we've got going on, where each week myself and Pete will be delivering conversations around different how-to elements, analysis tips, and obviously some insights from our own experiences as coaches and coach developers. So catch that on YouTube and every week on all major platforms where you can hear it in audio form as well. Right, guys, welcome back to Coaching Conversations with Pete and Yas. My name's Yas.
And my name's Pete.
Awesome. Happy New Year, everyone. Pete, Happy New Year to you too.
And Happy New Year to you. You know, I mean, I know that you probably didn't indulge in the some of the normal festive beverages.
Not, man. I've been in the dojo, man. I've been in the dojo.
You need to stay out of the dojo. Get a job. Get a proper job. This is not a proper job.
Right, Pete, you know, obviously, you know, it's a pleasure to be back now. I'm really looking forward to this conversation in particular. You know, we've had very different journeys along the way. But let's talk about it. Coaching journeys. You know, we've all got different ones. Everyone starts off in different places, whether as players, moving into coaching, whether moving in from coaching to different parts of the game and coming back to it. What was that like for you?
For me, it was a weird one because I started off many, many years ago as the dinosaurs roamed across the pitches.
Yeah. Fixing sinks, yeah.
Yeah. Our pitch was basically swampland back in those days. But, what we did, I was playing and I was at Wealdstone. I wasn't doing very well there. As many of the Wilson fans will probably say at the time. And I went to Beaconsfield Psycho, as they were called at that time. And I went there and I think I was coming to that stage in my playing career where I was realising actually that something wasn't quite right. And I think sometimes when you drop down a level and you go to a lower level and you're trying to play it, you're expecting players to do certain things and they're not doing certain runs and everything else. Anyway, so I was having a little bit of a dodgy time, so I decided that it was time to get into coaching. And they had a job there as reserve team manager. And they said, would I like to do that job? So I said, yeah, why not?
Well, what was it about coaching that kind of attracted? Obviously, you know, you mentioned it kind of really on the back end of your playing career, essentially. Mm. Was coaching ever a thought for you before that?
It was weird because coaching was something that I kind of did anyway. Mm. Because when I was 14, I used to run a team, right? And I used to organise the training sessions, get all the players to the game, and all that sort. So I probably was more manager more than coach, but I was doing all that sort of stuff, and I had a real interest in as a young footballer was being better. So I bought coaching books. because that's the only way I could, you know, I bought my first coaching book. I think I was 12 when I bought my first coaching book.
So before the war?
That was during the war.
So, you know, obviously, you know, things have changed massively, you know, and then I think, you know, you mentioned there slightly that, you know, you was a bit more of a manager, and I think this is one of the things that obviously a lot of people do go through in their journeys, right, in understanding the roles and responsibilities, how they might differ from being a coach to that of a manager. And you've got some people that, you know, I'm sure you've met them as well, where they've got only interest in being a manager and not necessarily a coach. So, you know, for anyone listening to that, what would you say are, in your opinion, the fundamental differences?
I think, this is my personal opinion on it, right? It's that if you're a manager but you don't know how to coach, well, what are you? Well, you're just a balls, bibs and cones person. Because the truth of the matter is any fool can pick a team. Like you can say, oh yeah, well, you can, you know, this player's better than that player and that player's... And then it becomes about opinions.
Mm.
When actually, when you're coaching, what you're doing is you're looking at the player during the coaching session. You're looking at how they're behaving. You're looking at how they're feeling. You might know something about them, what's going on at home and all that sort of stuff that goes into the coaching session, how tired they are. Right? Are they playing passes in the right area of the pitch that you want them to play? You know, are they making their tackles right and all that sort of stuff? All those things that a coach appreciates and understands. If you're just somebody who stands at the side and just shouts because you've got the coach coat that says manager, well, actually, well, what's your use? Are you the person who gives the referee the paper at the start of the game with the team sheet on? Or are you the person who does the interviews at the end of the game? You've got to have an understanding of the game, the fundamentals of the game, I think. You know, you might not decide that you're going to go on and get maybe an A license or a B license, but you should have some semblance of the coaching process. Because if you don't, I think you're selling your players short. And you know the thing about it is, players will see that. You know what I mean? They may not say it, but they'll see it. Because you'll see the conversations they have with the coach will be different from the conversations they have with you as the manager.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Obviously, you know, if I look at my own journey, and you know, you talk there about playing to a certain level and then obviously transitioning into a coach and potentially a manager from that perspective. My journey wasn't like that at all. You know, I remember when I started, in fact, I fell into coaching by accident, if I'm being honest. And it was, so I didn't have, if you like, a past career in the game or of some sort.
Yeah.
And it was almost at that point, really having to immerse myself and become a student of the game, if you like, to try and develop myself as a coach. And I think that's probably become more and more commonly the norm.
Yeah.
In the generation of coaches that have come through since, in that, one, they're getting younger and younger, which is great to see. But obviously with that younger and younger, also there's a trade-off of what some would suggest is a lack of experience in the game, especially if they're not come from a background where they have played at a certain level or played at a higher level in particular. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously there's always that debate, right, around, you know, coaches or rather players becoming coaches, players maybe playing at the highest level and still being able to become great coaches. And then obviously the flip side, you've got some people who have never had that experience of playing at a certain level who've gone on to become great coaches and great managers. You know, where do you kind of sit on that?
Well, I'll ask you the question. You know, how do you feel when... you're coaching and you don't have that playing background? Is that something that ever bothers you, or do you just think, you don't even think about it?
I think if I'm being completely honest, I personally don't think about it. However, I can appreciate and understand some of the thoughts that might exist around it, i.e., you know, if you've played at a certain level and therefore maybe able to perform certain things, whether that be from a technical standpoint or whatnot, I think that can get you credibility. I think certainly it's a way to coach, because obviously demonstration is a big way in which we, you know, utilize within how we get our messages across. I don't think it's the be all and end all. I think it definitely has its benefits. I definitely think it has, if you like, the ability to give you a stronger foundation to work from. But eventually, I think it's much more about what you know rather than what you can show.
I would agree with that. I think sometimes being able to play just gets you out of trouble sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think, but being able to coach and coach well, that's the thing that players eventually will hang their hat on.
100%. And I think the one thing that's always kind of, you know, I've said to myself is that, right, I haven't had that playing background. Mm. So I'm not even going to bother trying to go down that route, right? It's just no point. But I also firmly believe that, you know, that doesn't have to be an obstacle for coaches to further develop themselves. And I think, and maybe this, I don't know, you know, at what stage of my journey I really started to think about it from this perspective, but maybe it was just a case of just as time goes, you just start to, you know, assimilate and you start to reflect and think about different things in different ways. And one of the things kind of come back to me as well, how self-aware I am about my, you know, about my abilities and what I can and can't do. What have I become really good at in the absence of maybe not being able to play at a higher level necessarily? Well, I've become very good at observing who can perform techniques, who can get me out of trouble, for lack of a better way of describing it, in that how often have you seen a situation where you know certain players in your groups, they can perform certain actions, but actually then the challenge that I've also kind of come to learn and that exists around it as well, but they might also be the player that needs to see it first.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got a player in your group, you tell them to do something and they just not doing it. And it's just like, well, why aren't you doing it? I know you can do it. And it's like, you might be right, they could do it. But actually, do they know what they're trying to do first? So I think it's become a tool for me to kind of better observe what my players are able and aren't able to do. But even then, I think from a personal standpoint, it's recognizing that as long as there is an image or a show of some sort, I think you can go along that way. And for me, I often, if I'm being brutally honest, because I'm a bit lazy sometimes, right? But I like to do everything in slow motion. I like to break it down and walk through things rather than do things at full pace all the time, because I think as long as there is an image, there is some sort of a point of reference, it allows the player to pick up enough to, I guess, then try and do it at full speed themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's where the player's at in their journey. And I think that's why I said about the thing about the being a coach. So important that you understand the players, because coaching is about players. And I think sometimes coaches think coaching is about coaching. It's not, it's about players. So your first thought has got to be, well, what do the players need to know? Because they're the ones who are going to go out on the pitch. They're the ones who are going to transfer the information that you've given them, and hopefully they'll do it well. And also, it's not coaching by assumption. So, the players should be able to do this because they're 15. They should be able to do that because they're 16. They should be able to do it because it's this, that. And that goes across the game, you know, from male coaches thinking that female players should be able to do things that a 16-year-old male player should be able to do. Well, that's not always the case, because you've got to think about, you know, where does a player's journey start? You know, when did they start playing? So you've got in the male game, in the boys' pathway, where one boy might start at 5 and another one might start at 9. Well, that's a lot of time that person's had to practice that the other person hasn't, and they might be playing the same team. So I think it's recognizing that as a coach is really, really important. And I think one of the things that coaches who haven't played the game have an advantage of is that they're not soured by some of the stuff that you as somebody who's played the game might some of that baggage you might be carrying, because some of the dressing room culture, that sort of stuff, the banter, the language, sort of almost like the assimilation and the things that you can become your own coach. Because I know that when I first started, I did things that other coaches had showed me. So I didn't have a real reference, because when I first started, I didn't qualify myself until I think I was in my fifth year of coaching. And that was because I didn't really know about the coaching badges. Because when I started, coaching badges were a thing, but they weren't something that everybody shouted about like they do now. You know, you had to go and ask somebody else who told you this, and eventually I found out where I could get my first badge from. But I was still sort of like, then I went through the process of becoming a coach, where I then had to, copy what the coach educator had shown me on the course to be able to pass the course. So now I'm now a facsimile of that person who taught me.
Mm.
So now I've got to get out of that facsimile mode and then find my own self. And sometimes that takes a long time to be able to find yourself. And it wasn't until I think I'd gone past my UEFA B, and then I started to feel, well, actually, I don't like coaching in that way.
But I mean, I'm listening to you speak, then I'm thinking, I'm fully with you. I get where you're coming from. But what I'm really conscious of is, I'm curious to know, is when did you become aware of this stuff? Because obviously, it wasn't at the start of your journey. And I think now, you know, what were the trigger points? What were the focal points within your coaching journey that made you feel, actually, do you know what? I actually do need to consider the playing journey of the player, how long they've been playing, what they have been doing up to this point, how long have they even played football, what's the other context around it? When did these things actually start to become considerations for you?
I tell you when it really started to become considerations for me, when I started the mods.
Right.
I started the youth mods, FA youth mods. They were brilliant for as far as I was concerned, because they actually made me think about other things other than football.
Right.
Because I played, everything was about football.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't do it? What do you mean? I mean, it was like that. It was like, I'll use this term, toxic masculinity. I can't even say it. But that was the thing. It was that idea of, oh, well, actually, why can't, you know, the youth mods taught me, actually, there's more to it than just about the, because we talked about the four corners all the time, didn't we? Mm. But it was no depth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the youth mods gave me that depth around what are we looking for from mm-hmm. the players? You know, how do we work with the player? How do we work with the environment? You know, how do we work with the practice and all that sort of stuff? And then I started to realise, well, actually, as a coach, I'm like, I want the players to really enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be sort of just, you know, doing what I tell them to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to make decisions. And as I've got more and more into my coaching just recently, especially with the team that I'm with at the moment, spend a lot of time doing stuff around decision making. My practices are all around, they're very simple practices, but they'll have some really simple rules to them. Right, I want this to happen, but then I want to see, what do the players do when I give them that rule? How do they behave? What makes them do this, or what makes them do that? Do they understand? Is one player, because then I look at the players who's very clear, right, he said this, so I'm going to try this and see what he says. So they try to bend the rules to find a way around them to get success, and that's the player I'm going, oh, yeah, I like you. I ask a player, well, why do you do that? Well, you never said we couldn't do this. I thought, yeah, okay, all right. Then what happens, you notice, because I haven't said anything, I haven't said, no, you can't do that, the other player's cotton on. They go, oh, right, so and so's worked that out. And then they find other ways, and you see those juices flowing. So I think the youth mods gave me that, and that was kind of, then I started to realise, actually, even the way I spoke, how I spoke, the way I spoke to individual players, all those things started to change from there. And you know what? It's still happening. It's still happening even now. All the time I coach, something else comes up. You know, the different, if I'm with a...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Different group of players, I'll act in a different way. I have to think about culture, the culture of the players.
So you're saying that prior to, obviously, youth mods back then, because they must have come out about close to 15 years ago now.
I think
it was around 2010, 2009.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's as long ago as that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, prior to them, was it that these things weren't on your radar? Or they just weren't even considered full stop?
No, they were kind of on my radar, but because nobody had actually officially said that this was a thing,
yeah,
you're not quite sure because you kind of, you think, if I do this, and I did this say on a course, I'd be
but
wrong.
But there's a bit of a danger with that, right? Because effectively, you gave a reference to what coaching was like beforehand, or the coach education pathway was like, in the sense that a coach educator would say, or they'll deliver a certain session or whatever that, and you'd have to go and copy that.
Yeah.
What's the difference now? I mean, really, because really what they've done is just basically shifted what you're copying, right?
Well, no, I think what happens is, and again, this depends on the educator. Mm. The educator is a big part of your learning journey. If they say to you, think about this as opposed to do this, it's a different thing. But what they also have to realise is, how can you think about something if you've never been shown any other bits and pieces around that?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping you'd say something of that sort, because... You know, if I go back to thinking about my own coaching journey, and I think one of the key things that definitely has helped me is certain people that I've had along the journey to kind of get me to where I am now and even stretch my thinking to the point where it is now as well. And I think that's really key, right?
Mm.
So I guess, you know, and I think we've touched on some of this stuff in the past as well, but those individuals that maybe were influential for you in your journey, what was it that they were able to do, or what did they demonstrate that allowed you to kind of, I guess, flourish a little bit more?
I think it was, they made me think. That was the thing, is that they made me think about stuff. They would do things, say, for example, that I'd never thought about before. Mm. They would act in a different way. You know, there was one or two coach educators who just didn't behave like the others. It was that kind of like, it's real sort of like, almost like a boys club kind of mentality. And that's not, it's not no disrespect to anyone, but it was kind of like, well, this is the way it is. And never the 20 to me. But I often found people who didn't think like that. And they would say, well, actually, if you think about this and you do it like this, think about what the results might be.
Mm.
And I'd go, oh, right, okay. Did I truly understand? No, I probably didn't understand. I didn't have the knowledge base behind me enough. And I started to watch the players and watch what they did. And I'd say, right, okay. Because what they did, they made me think about, well, what are the players doing? You know? And I remember looking back at a bit of video that I saw of myself in about 2005 when I just passed my B license. And there was a group of coaches and we were... With Paul Davis and Nick Bate, and I saw the footage, and I was looking at how Nick Bate was describing how you set up a session. And at the time, I remember thinking, didn't answer. But when I look back at it now, I went, oh my God, that's simple genius.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I went, wow. And I just didn't know because there was no, that background knowledge wasn't there. And that's the important thing about coaching and developing as a coach. Go out and find out different things before you go down that road of going, I'm going to do my UEFA C or my UEFA B or my UEFA A, because there's a big chunk of learning that you need to do before you go into those licenses. And this is the thing, is that I remember doing a course years ago, and it was with UK Sport, and they said, we're going to teach you to be a coach. Your licenses come as part of that journey. They're not the journey. Mm. They're just part of it. It's just a pit stop on the way.
Mm.
There'll be other pit stops that won't be qualifications, but that is just one of the pit stops.
Mm.
And that I kept that in mind. So when I was going through my badges, when they're saying to me, oh, you've got to do your assessment now. I was like, yeah, I'm not quite ready yet. I knew when I was ready.
Yeah.
Because I knew
that. I mean, I'm only assuming now.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, I started my journey just coming up just after those youth modules kind of came out, really, around the same time. So I remember getting on them quite early when they were quite new. And some of what you've described there as part of your journey in terms of the coach education was kind of similar to how I experienced it. But I've always considered myself quite fortunate because I've had what I consider the best of both worlds, to an extent, in the fact that I've experienced that part of the journey and what that coach education system and pathway looked like. And then obviously had exposure to what it maybe is like now, and through that transition period. So it's allowed me to maybe appreciate and value the pros and cons of all of it, right? And I guess for me, coming back to what you said about, you know, those qualifications just being, I guess, stop points, checkpoints, if you like. I remember one that kind of really just changed my whole perception, right? And it was, I think it was like maybe 2015, going back a few years now. And it was actually the final, the prep course for the A license. I remember this. It was the final one they did. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was in January 2015, I did that. And it was West London. And I just remember the one take-home message that stuck with me was this. We rock up on the day, and it was John Whittingham and Ted Dell. And I can't remember who said it specifically. I think it was John Whittingham. But UEFA A license, what's this all about? And I was thinking, yeah, like, you know, I want to know what this
was. Is it Guy Whittingham?
Guy Whittingham, sorry. Guy Whittingham, sorry, apologies. Coming, and he's, what's A license? What's this all about? And he goes to me, he goes to the group, sets the scene, and says, you're on international break, 25 man squad. Two of your players have been kept behind because they're, I can't remember whether we referred to them as being injured at the time or whether their nation just wasn't playing. Right, so you're starting to paint this picture, right? 23, so you've got 23 players away, you've got two, you're at the training ground, caretaker's left the keys at home, so you've got access to a set of balls, a few cones that have been laying around, and a couple white lines if you want them. And he said, your task is this is what A license, you should be able to do this at A license. Keep these two players engaged for 60 minutes in a way that they want to come back for more. Your players are Pepe and Ronaldo. that just stuck with me.
Yeah.
Right? It stuck with me, and I thought to myself, blimey, that's what I want to be able to do. Right? But I think, you know, and I share that to say, kind of, that's not for everyone. So not everyone has to go down that journey. But it's understanding and coming back to yourself, you know, where we went through that coach education system in the way it was. I think to some extent, my opinion would be that it would be maybe easier for us to be able to identify who could and who couldn't coach. Whereas I think now, because there's such a vast range of what coaching could look like, I think it's made it a bit more challenging for coaches but to self-identify and self-aware, become more self-aware around, can I actually coach? Am I actually coaching? Or am I just maybe potentially the most effective or most applauded coach in my environment, to the point where, because these people are newer than me, I just become the most experienced one, so therefore I'm the head of the table, if you like. Stuck with me, and I thought to myself, blimey. That's what I want to be able to do. Right? But I think, you know, and I share that to say, kind of, that's not for everyone. So not everyone has to go down that journey. But it's understanding and coming back to yourself, where, you know, where we went through that coach education system in the way it was. I think to some extent, my opinion would be that it would be maybe easier for us to be able to identify who could and who couldn't coach. Whereas I think now, because there's such a vast range of what coaching could look like, I think it's made it a bit more challenging for coaches but to self-identify and self-aware, become more self-aware around, can I actually coach? Am I actually coaching? Or am I just maybe potentially the most effective or most applauded coach in my environment, to the point where, because these people are newer than me, I just become the most experienced one. So therefore, I'm the head of the table, if you like.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is that. But I think that, you know, Guy made a great point about what the A license actually really is.
It was.
Yeah. Because you're talking about at the end of the day that if you're an A license, you should be working. You can work with the first team.
Yeah.
So you imagine there's a flu bug. You got and all the other all the first team coaches. Right, have we got? It's like, is there a doctor in the room? Is there an A license coach in the room? Oh yeah, me. Okay, you got to do the first team. Right, now you should be able to do that at A license, and I think, it's to be able to do that. There's a certain level of confidence to be able to deliver that. To be able to say to yourself, I could go into. It's going to sound arrogant. I don't. If somebody said to me, you've got to go and work with somebody's first team, I go, yeah, fine, no problem. Because there's all that body of work behind me where I've had to go and watch coaching sessions, go abroad, work with players of lesser ability, work with players of higher ability. All those things that I've had to do, you know, worked in different parts of the game. Because a coaching session isn't about what you deliver, it's how you deliver it. Because what you've got to do is you've got to remember that those players, when they come, doesn't matter what level they're at, they want to enjoy your session. And if your session's rubbish and you think that, oh yeah, well, you know, I did this and I know, oh yeah, and I'm going to do this. Sorry, the first thing they got to do, they got to enjoy it. So, you know, we often say this, right? If all else fails and you're struggling, just put a game on. Because that's what the players want to do. Now as the game's going on, you start to observe the game and you start to go, well, okay. What they're doing now, it keeps losing the ball there. I need to work with them a little bit more. So you might go in and you might say, just come off and you could give a few little hints and tips and everything. And then you start to get into the practice. Then you might go, right, okay, I tell you what I might do. I might take a small group and do this and get my assistant coach to work with that group. All those sort of things start to happen as you start to coach and you coach more and you start to understand the game and what the players need at any particular time. And sometimes it's just a case of they just need a blowout and they just need a game. But also they might need some stuff that's specific. And your journey should have all of those things in it. Your coaching journey should have experienced that. If you've got to A license and you haven't experienced that, that means you haven't gone on your journey properly and you've managed to con your way onto the A license. Right? And I'm not saying that to besmirch anyone or because the A license as it, you know, it's still the same thing. But remember, it's still the same thing. You have that A, that allows you to go and work at the highest level of the game. That hasn't changed. Hasn't they turn around and say, actually, you can work at the middle level and you can work with the under six. No, you can work at the highest level. That's entry level to work with the first team. Yeah. All right. Pro license and all that comes later. But entry level is A license, right? To be able to do that, and to have all of that stuff behind you, and that's why sometimes some players who get fast tracked, they don't succeed because there's no, they may have had a great playing career, but when you play, and I know this from my very modest prep, if you like, playing career, and I use that with a small C, right? Is you're looking after you. Right, if the centre back is having a terrible game, right, it's not your concern.
Yeah,
if you manage to get the centre back out of trouble a couple of times, well, that's actually a couple of ticks for you from the manager. And he's going, well, he's done really well there. Pete's done really well there. He saved him there. He's let the ball run under his foot. He's got around. He's covered him. Well done there, fella. You're getting the team next week. Centre back's not getting the team. You guys, hard luck, mate. Blah, blah, blah. But you're looking after you. When you're playing, when you're coaching now, you're looking after the squad. So 16, 18 players, 20 players sometimes, 22 players, depending on where you're working. And I think that's the piece there that coaches have to understand, is that your journey should be full of different experiences that help you to get to a stage whereby when you come up against a particular situation, you can deal with it. If you're at the highest level, there'll be certain situations that you can deal with when you're, say, at UEFA C or that you can deal with, all right? But when you're at UEFA B, those are different situations because you might be working with more players, older players, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't matter, but that's why your coaching journey has to be this journey that goes up and down and round and back again, and because you're going to come across things you haven't seen before, and it's got to be that mixed bag of all these different fruits and different flavors that you should be able to experience. If you don't, when you get to where you think is the top, you're going to struggle.
100%, and I think, you know, just as we look to wrap this one up, I think it's more just for me, the biggest message that I can probably think about is that range, that depth of experiences, because somewhere along the way, you know, you're going to end up falling into that trap of not knowing what you don't know, right? And if you don't know where the different parts of, I guess, the footballing world can take you, then you don't know what the players are maybe coming from and going into. So I think that having that range of experiences and understanding, okay, well, what does first team look like? You know, if I want to prepare for that, how close am I getting to that? What am I doing? And I can just think about some key things that I used to do, you know, in developing myself and trying to get an eye on, I guess, the end goal, if you like. And when I was at a time, I was heavily focused on trying to get into academy football, more specifically working at under 18s, under 23s, that kind of stuff. I would spend my time going out, watching what these teams are doing, what are the coaches in these environments doing. You know, what can I take away now and go and apply and go and think about exploring and experimenting with that. By the time, if I was to get to that point or whatever role it is I'm going into next, I've already got some of the experience and some of the insights around what maybe it could or should look like at that age and stage of the game, but within that particular environment as well. So I guess, you know, over to you in the sense that, what would be some key messages that you'd want coaches to think about now from their coaching journeys?
I think it's just one thing. Enjoy learning. You just got to enjoy learning. If you don't enjoy learning, and as a football coach, forget it, it's not for you. Because it's going to constantly keep changing. If you don't enjoy learning, it's not for you. It's the game's not for you.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, guys. First episode back after the new year. Coaching conversation with Pete and Yas. Obviously, we've been looking at coaching journeys today. Both myself and Pete sharing some insights on our journeys. But maybe let us know what stood out for you. Leave us a comment. Make sure you like, share and subscribe. And we'll be back next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.